Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Our starting line for Tuesday's show is African Athletics. And let's give Sunny Side of Sports salutes to Benson Kipruto and Diana Kipyege, who waved Kenya's flag high Monday at the Boston Marathon. Kipruto and Kipyege won the men's and women's titles, marking the eighth time since 2000 there has been a Kenyan sweep in Boston. About 16,000 runners started the Boston Marathon, a smaller field than the usual 30,000 plus because of the coronavirus pandemic. The Boston Marathon returned after a 30-month absence. It was canceled last year for the first time in its 125-year history because of the pandemic. And it also moved from its traditional April date to October. Speaking after the race, though, men's winner Benjamin Kipruto said, and I quote, "There's not a lot different on the course." The 30-year-old Kipruto covered the course in 2 hours, 9 minutes, and 51 seconds. He finished ahead of three Ethiopians, 2016 Boston winner Lenny Berhanu, Jamal Yimmer, and Sedat Ayana. Meanwhile, women's winner Diana Kipyege had a winning time of 2 hours, 24 minutes, and 45 seconds. And another Kenyan, two-time world champion Edna Kiplagat, was the second woman in Boston, finishing 24 seconds behind Kipyege. Now, Kiplagat has had a great running career. Edna won Boston in 2017, and she's also a former winner of the London and New York City marathons. And at the age of 41, Edna Kiplagat is still running strong. Boston Marathon champions Benson Kipruto and Diana Kipyege each receive first place prizes of $150,000.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This evening, we'll hear from Somalia-born distance runner Abdi Nagay, who won a silver medal for the Netherlands at the Olympics in Japan. Competing in the Olympic men's marathon in Sapporo, the 32-year-old Nagay clocked 2 hours, 9 minutes, and 58 seconds. He finished 1 minute and 20 seconds behind Kenyan star Eliud Kipchoge, who won his second straight Olympic title. In an interview with the Voice of America, Abdi said he fled Somalia with his brother and settled in the Netherlands 25 years ago.
My name is Abdi Nagay. I'm from the Netherlands. I'm a professional marathon runner, and I just competed the Tokyo Olympics 2020 in Japan. I came to the Netherlands, I think, in 1996 as a refugee. Everyone knows what was going on at that time in Somalia, unfortunately. I grew up here. Unfortunately, I went with my brother to Syria, then back to Somalia, and then I came back to the Netherlands. I thought this is the best country I want to stay and study and work later. That was 2005. So I was being away 6 years from the Netherlands. And I started running here. I was playing soccer for a long time. And just actually, you can say it by accident, I started running. And the first race actually, the first run touched me. And I really like the freedom, what you feel when you are just running alone in the forest, on the streets. And after a couple of years, it became my profession. And I went to Kenya, I went to Ethiopia to improve myself. And it was a long journey. It was a long journey, 14 years, I think, now that I was running. And it was my first success.
Abdi Nage competed in his first Olympic marathon 5 years ago in Brazil, where he finished 11th overall with a time of 2 hours, 13 minutes, and 1 second.
My first Olympics was 5 years ago, 2016, also the marathon. And that time it was, wow, I can go to the Olympics. But this time I had different nerve because this time I knew I want to compete with the best. It's not only to go there and to join, but this time I want to come back with results.
In Sapporo, Abdi Nage helped another Somalia-born runner, Bashir Abdi of Belgium, get a good result. In the latter stages of the men's marathon, he waved to Bashir and urged him to keep up. Bashir finished in 2 hours and 10 minutes and won the Olympic bronze medal. Abdi talks about his relationship with Bashir.
Bashir Abdi is really my long friend. And, you know, we had the background of becoming from Somalia, playing football, but also that background of we have to go to Kenya, we have to go to Ethiopia to train with the best because they are the best in the long distance. And I had many Dutch friends here, Dutch athletes. We were training together and they were not going 100% for their goal. They were thinking about, yeah, I need a job later, I need a car, I need this. And me, I was going 100% for my athletics. Material was not important for me. And Bashir had the same, 2 hours away from where I live in Holland. He had the same dream. So I remember sometimes we were in Ethiopia and we had not enough money that we were renting just one room.
The men's Olympic marathon was held on August 8th in Sapporo, Japan. Abdi reflects.
I was competing the marathon distance, and the marathon happens always the last day. It's always Sunday morning. Most of the other races, other competitions are finished. If it's swimming, basketball, judo, everything is finished. The marathon, have so much respect. It's the last day. We are there at the start line, and the race was going good. I was prepared well for the heat and for the hard conditions. My fitness was also good. Bashir Abdi, who was now number three, we are teammates since 5 months and long friends since 2008 when I started running. And at 39 kilometers, until that time, I would see him as one of my competitors that he can beat me, he was better than me in training. But also we had a very tough Kenyan athlete who was the winner of Boston Marathon and Chicago Marathon, who have incredible achievements. So at 39, I wanted to make my move, and I looked where everyone was. So I looked at my left side, I remember, and Chirono was there, and the Spaniard, the Spanish guy, and I looked, where is Bashir? Because I was also afraid of him. So I looked, and then I see Bashir is not with us, or let's say he's not close to us. He's half 10 meter or 12 meter. So I was telling him, come close, and it's after that moment. So I waved to him. And that thing is very common thing for us when in the trainings, when you have a tough day, we will tell you, come close. And it helps you just stay close because when you have a bigger gap, you will lose and you can run alone.
In the final stages of the Olympic men's marathon, Abdi Nage said he did not want to run alone and leave behind Somalia-born Bashir Abdi.
So it happened again at 41, but still I want to go for my success. Still I want to go. But every time when I want to go, I see my friend and my teammate still hurting. So it was feeling like I'm leaving him alone behind there. So I still waited at 41 because I'm thinking Chirono have incredible speed. He's the last winner of Boston Marathon, and he had the best speed when he was beating the former world champion, actually the current world champion. He beat that race. So I was still thinking I need to have longer sprint, not short sprint. He will beat me in short sprint. I need longer sprint. So still I want to go, but Bashir is still there hurting and giving every time 5 meters, 6 meters. And then actually that time I let it go to have long sprint, and I said, I feel great. I was feeling still great. I said, Abdi, I had a lot of confidence. You can beat him in short sprint and stay as long as possible with Bashir and don't make any move. And I was hoping that he will not make any move. So the last 3K, I was actually, I had confidence that I will be number two, but I knew if we go, Bashir will not able to go with us. And I remember the 400 meter. I said, normally I always go 400 meter. I can have long sprint again. Still, I waited 200 meter, And then you can see I'm actually I'm trying to hide that Chorone will not see me that I'm putting now the sprint. So I want to surprise him with the sprint. So actually I'm still telling Bashir to come, but I never hide it because when I see the videos, I'm just doing like very aggressive way. But that moment I was thinking, I do the secretly. I'm telling Bashir, now we have to go up. Bashir, I'm going now. You have to come with me. And I still waited. And you can see, you know, from your side, you can see if someone is now next to you. And you can see actually when he's next to me, then I put my last sprint.
And in that last sprint to the Olympic men's marathon finish line in Sapporo, Abdi Nagay said he was feeling much healthier than his friend Bashir.
It was crazy that, and we had interviewed together last time, and he said if Chorone made any move from 39 until 150, 200 meters to go, I was not able to go because he had cramp. And with cramp, you can't sprint for long. You can sprint only for 6-7 seconds. That's it. And it was perfect scenario for him to make safe his bronze medal. And for Chorone, he didn't make the right choice. But it was like we were actually sent for Bashir actually to make sure that he will win the bronze medal. And after the finish, Eliud Kipchoge, same sponsor, same manager. For many years, I trained with him last 4 months. It was crazy that everything happened so good. And after 2 days, actually, I realized how special it was. It means a lot. It was first time ever in that 14 years that my mother called me and told the neighbors, came running to the house and telling her about my success. So it is everywhere now. My little brother who's in Canada, he was calling me and he said, "Do you have TikTok because you are going viral?" I said, "No, I don't have it, but you can." Everyone knows about it, and especially what I did for my friend and former countryman. Yeah, it means a lot, and I hope that I can give the same as someone like Halima, who do model in Canada, and Ilhan in the US, Ken-An, who is singer, Mo Farah, who is a sir now and the double Olympic champion, to give the Somali people that even if we are here, you can still have success, and that they have examples, someone who look like them, who have the same language and religion, that they can say, we can do something.
Finally, Olympic silver medal winner Abdi Nagay has this special message for our Somali and African listeners who are tuning in this evening to the Voice of America.
My message to every Somali young girl or boy, or even to every African young boys and girls, is especially the ones who are in, first I have to start the ones who are in Europe and in America and in Canada, you have a chance. Even if you don't, your mother don't support you, tell him, put me in sports. And let your parents follow you when you are Saturday morning, you have training or you have a race. Let them drive you. Just tell them, I need you to come with me. The other people have their parents with them. And many Somalis, they don't support their kids with sport. They just think, oh, school is enough, that's it. But sport gives you a lot of discipline. It's health for your body. It gives that discipline to work something, to have goal fully. And don't see each other directly as competitors. When you help each other as a team, you will grow. And the race that you will see, you will win. But before that, until before the finish line, you have to help each other.
That's Abdi Nagay, the silver medalist in the Olympic men's marathon in Sapporo, Japan. And he spoke with the Voice of America from the Netherlands. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Join me on the next Straight Talk Africa for my conversation with the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, about the global fight against COVID-19 and what is at risk for Africa's women. I'll also speak to Fiona Atuwebwe from the World Health Organization about vaccine equity and plans to boost vaccine manufacturing in Africa. Join me, Heidi Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Thanks, Heidi. Germany is the first country to qualify for the 2022 FIFA World Cup football tournament in Qatar after booking its place with a 4-0 win at North Macedonia. Chelsea man Timo Werner had two goals for the Germans, who have lifted the World Cup four times. The Germans also made amends for a surprise 2-1 home loss to North Macedonia in March. It was the only loss in an otherwise perfect World Cup qualifying campaign for Germany, with 7 wins from 8 matches in Europe's Group J. In African World Cup qualifying, Burkina Faso, Cameroon, Ivory Coast, Gabon, and Egypt all scored victories on Monday in Marrakesh, Morocco. The Stallions of Burkina Faso moved to the top of Group A with a 2-0 victory against Djibouti. Issoufou Dayo and Abdoul Tepsoba had the goals for the Burkinabe. Burkina Faso now has 10 points from 4 qualifiers. Our Sunny Side of Sports listeners will remember the 10 group winners in Africa will advance to the final stage of World Cup qualifying. In Cotonou, Benin, the Elephants of Ivory Coast moved to the top of Group D with a 2-1 win against Malawi. Midfielder Frank Kessie scored the winning goal on a penalty kick in the 66th minute. Ivory Coast now has 10 points from 4 qualifiers and is 1 point ahead of Cameroon, which beat Mozambique 1-0 in Tangiers, Morocco. Meanwhile, Egypt took control of Group F with a big 3-0 road victory against Libya in Benghazi. The Egyptians now have 10 points from 4 qualifiers, 4 points ahead of the Libyans. Also in Group F, Gabon defeated visiting Angola 2-0. Gabon now has 4 points in the group, while Angola, with 3 points, has been eliminated. In Group C on Sunday, Nigeria defeated Central African Republic 2-0 in Douala, Cameroon. Nigeria's second goal came from this 22-year-old striker.
Sporty greetings, this is Victor Osimhen, Super Eagles of Nigeria and Napoli FC forward. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
With that victory over the CAR, Victor Osimhen and the Super Eagles of Nigeria now top Group C with 9 points from 4 qualifying matches. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the chief football writer at ACLSports.com in Nigeria, Fisayo Dairo.
It was not a surprise to many of us that Nigeria's Super Eagles went to Cameroon to beat the Central African Republic on Sunday. That is in spite of their loss to the same team at the Teslim Balogun Stadium, Lagos, on Thursday. For me, I always felt that CAR did not beat Nigeria on Thursday. Nigeria actually beat Nigeria because the attitude from the players was nothing to write home about. There was no urgency in their play. There was no movement on the pitch. And when you approach a football game like that, you are only signaling to defeat. So what happened on Sunday was simply that the players got their acts right. They knew that the lessons learnt on Thursday was one that you must not underrate any opposition. You must not take with levity the task of qualifying for another World Cup fiesta. So they got there on Sunday, did the business, got 2 first-half goals, courtesy of the defender that made the same mistake that led to Nigeria losing on Thursday, Leon Balogun, and the striker, Victor Osimhen, who also did not convert the chances that came his way on Thursday. So a little bit of change in attitude and change in the defining of purposes, the Super Eagles got what's expected to get against a team ranked 124th in the world. Congratulations to the team. They still remain top of the table, but I do sincerely hope that they keep that lesson learned on Thursday. Never, ever underrate any opponent in life.
Nigeria leads Group C with 9 points, but it's like Cape Verde with 7 points is a very strong contender. What's your take?
Ever since the draws for this round of qualifying for the 2020 World Cup in Qatar was made in January, I've always felt Cape Verde are Nigeria's strongest opponents in Group C. That's why the win over the Cape Verdeans, I mean, Delo in September, for me, was a huge result, because it came against a team that is capable of dragging this group to the wire with the Super Eagles. But having dropped the ball against the CR in Lagos on Thursday, it was also not a surprise to me that Cape Verde capitalized by beating Liberia both home and away in Ghana and in Delo. Now, this simply tells us that the last round of qualifying in November will be very, very dicey. That's why the Super Eagles cannot afford to repeat the same mistakes they made against CR. Interestingly, the first goal away to Liberia, be it in Monrovia or Accra, then Nigeria will end it with a home tie against the Cape Verdeans in Lagos. Now that is where everything will come down. For now, the Super Eagles are 2 points clear of the Cape Verdeans, but nothing is cast in stone as yet. They have to take it very seriously and not to consider the fact that they've won away in Mindelo, and so they should do it at home. They need to be up for it. The Cape Verdeans at this point can also see the end of the race. They also believe that they should be able to win at home against the Central African Republic, and then it will set up a grandstand finish against the Super Eagles. And if CAR can beat Nigeria in Lagos, Cape Verde can also fancy their chance of doing the same. So plenty, plenty still to play for in that group.
Do you think the Super Eagles of Nigeria will pick Group C ticket?
Whichever way you want me to look at it, either as a football analyst or as a Nigerian, you do expect me to expect the Super Eagles to pick this ticket from Group C. Why? Because when the draws were conducted in Cairo in January, it was expected that Nigeria, with the talents they have, with the resources, and of course the most populous black nation in Africa, former African champions, you expect them to win the league, the group, hands down. And that's why, even after four rounds of matches, they have 9 points, two clear of their nearest challengers, Cape Verde. They still have the onus on them. They are in pole position. Going to the final round of games in November, there are just two matches to play for, and actually just 4 points from both matches. One away to Liberia, perhaps in Ghana or in Liberia, and then one at home against the same Cape Verde. So they have their destiny in their own hands. So Nigeria should be expected to do the business. There shouldn't be any excuse for them, because, come on, they're not even playing some of the powerhouses in African football. So anything short of topping that group and having themselves in the final round of qualifying should be a disaster.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com in Nigeria. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Oliseh, former captain and coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Sunday. Now let's go to Ghana's capital, Accra, where the African Swimming Championships opened on Monday. Joining us now from Accra is Yawafusu Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings, Sunny.
Ghana, thank you very much. I now formally open the championship.
That was President of the African Swimming Confederation, Dr. Sam Ramsamy, declaring the 14th edition of the Ghana African Swimming Championships officially underway in the Ghanaian capital, Accra. It is the first time any swimming competition is being held on the continent since the coronavirus pandemic struck early last year. 42 countries and nearly 400 African swimmers have descended on the tiny West African country for 6 days of competition from October 11 to October 17. This is the first time the competition has combined both junior and senior championships into a single event, and will also serve as qualifier for the 2022 FINA World Championships in Fukuoka in Japan next year. And for Dr. Ramsamy, it is a great feeling to finally have African swimmers in the pool competing again.
We are delighted, and we especially thank the Ghana Swimming and the Ghana NOC, because without their support we won't have it. And this is the first time swimmers are coming up, and they're all very, very happy, delighted that we can get them swimming. Simply because this is the first competition, we're not worried really about times. we worried about participation. And you saw the number of people involved here, especially the swimmers. That itself is a great accolade, testimony that we are back in the water.
The Ghana president may not be too concerned about winning, but surely the athletes themselves are. 19-year-old South African swimmer Rebecca Meda won 3 gold medals in these championships when it was hosted in her home country in 2016. And following her first appearance at the Olympic Games a few months ago in Tokyo, she's looking to bring that experience to bear in these championships.
Well, yes, I'm always excited to race. Being first African event since COVID, I mean, it's been some trying times and some really difficult times, but just to be able to race is a blessing. So I'm here to make my country proud, myself proud. After Olympic Games, I gained a lot of experience there, which I'm hoping to bring into my racing here. It was an eye-opener.
Egypt brought the second largest contingent of swimmers to Accra. They are 51, only bettered by South Africa's 55. Among Egypt's contingents is Ali Khalafa, a 4-time gold medalist at the last championships in Algiers. Understandably, he should be under pressure to retain his medals. Instead, the 25-year-old Indiana State University alumnus says he is more focused on team performance.
This African Championships, we're just not thinking as, individually, we're thinking as a team. So this is our goal, is to get as much points as we can, and for me to support the team and for my teammates to support us and supporting ourselves to get as much points as possible so we can win the meet. It feels great. I've never been here before. Really awesome country, really nice people and very friendly. We're very grateful for Ghana, and the whole Egyptian team has been saying the same things I'm saying, so we're really excited for a great championship.
All of Ghana's hopes lie in 22-year-old Abeku Jackson. He has been a trailblazer for the country's swimmers, having competed at the Rio 2016 and Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games. In the last competition, he set a new personal national record in the 50-meter freestyle. So is he under pressure to deliver a medal on home soil?
No, I think I'm used to pressure. I'm used to pressure from previous games, from Tokyo, from Glasgow, from so many other games. The pressure is there, but for me, I use the pressure to motivate myself. I'm so excited to be here back in Ghana to swim against not just African Zone 2 like last time, but the whole of Africa. And it's going to represent my country, especially in my home country that is hosting the games. I wish to raise the flag of Ghana high.
In the end, this swimming championship is more than just a competition. It is a celebration of African swimmers whose fins have by and large been clipped by the coronavirus pandemic. And right here in Accra, they feel liberated again. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Vosulabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. Nice report. An update now on the Major League Baseball playoffs here in the United States. The Boston Red Sox have advanced to the American League Championship Series with a 6-5 victory against the Tampa Bay Rays. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports from Boston.
The Red Sox walked it off for a second straight night to punch their ticket to the American League Championship Series with a 6-5 win over the Rays. Kike Hernandez had a one-out sacrifice fly to plate the winning run from third and sent Boston back to the ALCS for the second time in 4 seasons.
Man, it's October. It doesn't matter what happens. All that matters is get that W.
Rafael Devers hit a 3-run blast in the Red Sox 5-run third inning. Wander Franco had a 2-run homer for the 100-win Rays, who erased a 5-0 deficit but weren't able to defend their AL crown. Gethin Coolbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Gethin. In 2 National League playoff results Monday, the Atlanta Braves beat the Milwaukee Brewers 3-0, and the San Francisco Giants edged the defending World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers 1-0. San Francisco and Atlanta now lead their respective National League Division playoff series 2-1. That wraps up the October 12th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Thank you.